May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, our Rock and Redeemer. Speak to us, dear Lord, as your servants are listening. Amen. 7 years ago, when I was still a chaplain at the Christian Medical College in Vellore, a classmate of mine used to bring his only son for treatment. His son of 9 years old at that time was paralyzed, and he used to carry him around. He used to literally carry him on his back, bring him to my office, and we used to pray, then all over the hospital. And one day I asked him, why is that you don't use a wheelchair for your son? And he looked at me and said, JP, my son is never heavy for me. That's how he chose to demonstrate his love for his son, by carrying him around. He chose to carry him because he wanted to do it. It is because of that love. It is because of that love his burden was light. It is because of that love his pain was bearable. It is because of that love his sorrow was tolerable. It is because of that love God sent his only son, Jesus Christ, who laid his life for us. And he gave us a new commandment, so that we also will choose to love. Dear friends, we need to look at today's gospel in anticipation of Christ leaving the earth after resurrection. The Ascension Day is not very far. That's this Thursday, the 21st of this month. And if you count from the day of resurrection, Easter, to Ascension Day, there are 40 days, right? Including Sundays. And Jesus Christ lived on this earth 40 days after resurrection. But time had come for him to leave this world. So long before he did that, long before his death and resurrection, he prepared his disciples for his departure. Don't we all do that, like especially parents or grandparents, you know, how we prepare for our departure from this world? We do something called advance directives or living will. These are all part of preparation to leave this world, so that others are cared for the way they want it to be. You know, as a chaplain, I work with people part of my time, people who are dying. You know, when I sense something not right with the families when the patient is dying, I usually suggest them 5 things to do. This is proposed by one of the psychologists, Ira Boeck. He said 5 things. The dying person usually initiates by saying, say, I love you. Thank you. Forgive me. I forgive you. Goodbye. Well, in Hawaiian language, we don't have goodbye in Indian language as well. So I usually change it to ahuyo ho. So we'll see you again. It is true in our Christian faith, we'll see them again. But you see, in these 5 words, one of the words is I love you. Just last week, as Father was dying, he called each child by name, and when he said, I love you, and the only sister who they were not getting along well, when she called her by name and I said, love you, they just broke down in tears. Isn't it something? We hear the words, I love you, from the people even after they died. We hear them. Those words are so powerful. And that's exactly what Christ did today. He prepared them by saying, I love you. And then he said, just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. And that is the fulfillment of all the commandments. And in fact, the fulfillment of this commandment, love you, love one another, is seen in verse 35. That is, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Again in chapter 15, verse 12, we see the same thing. You see, this is a long 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, five chapters. John has recorded into five chapters Jesus' last words. And it's all about love. The first is to say love is a commandment. Jesus said, it's a commandment, you got to love one another. It's not a suggestion. It's not a good advice. It's a commandment. Oh well, how can that be? The act of love cannot be forced on people. It's a spontaneous act. I mean, there are arranged marriages in India, but you see, it's not a forced love because, you know, in India, I mean, mine is arranged marriage, but, you know, we fell in love with the person that we marry. It's the other way around, yeah? But that's okay, but it's working or not working, but whatever. But still, you know, but you see, you can't love someone by force. It's a spontaneous. But for us Christians, we have no choice but to choose love. Because I think Christ used the word commandment in order to replace the other commandments, because Judeo-Christian thinking was preoccupied by the Ten Commandments, right? We had Ten Commandments, the great Ten Commandments. And growing up in a Lutheran home, my mother wouldn't give me food without memorizing those commandments. But to my surprise, none of them worked. Thou shalt not steal. Excuse me, don't tell me what I have stolen, but I can confess right now. But thou shalt not commit adultery, none of them worked in this world. So Christ has replaced those commandments with a commandment that is just love, got to love, choose love. But you know, in a community, in a family, as we grow together, as we get to know each other, what happens is either we grow in love with each other, love for each other, or we dislike each other. We can't stand anymore. You know the title of the book, is, if you know all about me, would you still love me? Again, as I say, you don't need to read that book because the title itself speaks for the content of the book. Book is boring. Jesus did not hate anyone. So he did not agree with people what they have done, but he accepted them as they are. Accepting people is not necessarily agreeing with them. To love someone, therefore, means accepting a person unconditionally, even when we disagree with that person. That's why we read in the book of Acts that Holy Spirit came even on Gentiles. Holy Spirit came even on Gentiles. God made no difference between Jews and Gentiles, between white and black, between brown and green, whatever colors you name it. Christ died for everyone, even for people that we think that we hate them. Christ died for them. Secondly, for Jesus, to love means to lay down his life. Well, like Jesus, we cannot and will not die for others. We have some examples, like Mother Teresa, who lived for people, and she, several times, her life was in danger. And Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., they were all willing to die in order to fight for justice and righteousness. But for me, laying down life means I will not let down you. I will not let down the others. I will not let down my own family. I will not let down my own congregation. That's what it means, laying down my life. In recent times, Hawaii State, we had this whole issue of civil union rights. Well, church was divided over the issue. On the one hand, one section of the church fighting for it. On the other hand, the other section of the church fighting against it. I really don't know, because I can no way know mind of God, but both of them must be praying to God about the same issue, right? Yeah, one must be praying, oh Lord, this is wrong. One must be praying, Lord, this is right. God must be having a lot of fun out there listening to all these prayers. But as I was listening, observing the process, I felt sad, because in the whole process, the people for whom the whole issue was raised were neglected. How beautiful it would have been if only the whole church got together, all the leaders of the church, maybe in the convention center, and invited everyone, no matter what gender you are, what race you are, and together join unity and affirm that we love each other because you believe in Christ. Because the real issue for the church is not civil union. The real issue for the church is a spiritual union. And that's where we missed our mark. Jesus laid down his life, but we should not let down our own people. Thirdly, Jesus called them friends because he made known to them everything he heard from his Father. That is called transparency in relationship. Without trust, there cannot be transparency. We know in our friendships, and we know each other. Like, you know, if I want to know how my son is doing in the school, he doesn't tell me, I need to call his close friend, right? He would know, or she would know. That's because there is a transparency and trust in friendship. And that's what Jesus called his disciples, my friends. Wow, what a privilege it is for us to be called as friends by Christ. Friends, I know we pray for the peace in this world, but you know what? The problem today in this world is not peace. The problem today in this world is lack of trust. Can we truly trust each other? Can we truly trust other countries? Jesus called them friends, not because they are trustworthy, but because he chose to trust them anyway. And he chose to love them anyway. And then, finally, Jesus, I love this, he demonstrated a sense of ownership. I just warn you. He said, verse 16, he told them, you did not choose me, I chose you. You did not choose me, I chose you. You know, whenever I read that, my initial reaction is, Lord, but I chose you too. But the Lord says, no, I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. And the purpose is that you love one another. You know the good news? I belong to Jesus. Good news is you belong to Jesus because he's claiming ownership on you. I chose you. Yes, we can be divided by our own divisions of race, color, creed, gender, whatnot. But in Christ, we are one. We choose not to let down each other because we belong to the family of Christ. Jesus called us friends because he trusted us even though we are untrustworthy. He chose us because he loved us. What a feeling it is. What a feeling. I am loved. You are loved. we are loved. Can you do me a favor? Turn to your neighbor on your right, left, back and front. Tell them, you are loved. It feels so good to hear that, isn't it? Welcome, nobody's told me. Yeah, right here. I know. There is love here. What a feeling it is. We bear one fruit as Christians, that is love. And that's all people will see. Let me close with a story from India. This is a story about a single mother. She was disfigured in her face. And she has a son, grown up nicely, brilliant kid, got into a good college, and he's studying very well. She wanted to visit him. So he went to the dormitory where he's staying, and he was so ashamed to introduce her to his friends because she didn't look good. Her face was disfigured. Mother, when our son asked her, what happened to your face? She never told him, in fact. So mother left, and then the son wrote to her, Mom, you don't come to see me anymore. Holidays are fast approaching. I'll come and see you at home. When mom received this letter, she got hurt. But waited for son to come. Son came, son, have a seat. I want to tell you. What, mom? I want to tell you why my face was disfigured now. She said, when you were only a few months old, we were living in a hut. One day, the hut was on fire. No one dared to go inside because you were in a cradle inside. I grabbed myself, chased into this burning hut, and I held you into my bosom. And as I was coming out, my face was burned because of those fires. Son didn't have anything to say. He just got up, hugged mom, and said, I love you, mom. Such is the power of love. Christ kept his scars just to remind us, you are loved. While we were at sinners, Christ died for us. Let us gather around the table of Christ, reminding ourselves of that sacrificial love. Amen.